Yeah, we're back, and Amy Kotkin is the director of the Smithsonian Journeys, and many of you may be a bit surprised, I wasn't really, but that the Smithsonian has a tour company, so we've invited the director of the Smithsonian Journeys to join us at Talking Travel today and tell us why and what it's all about. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Well, it's nice to have you here.
Great.
You know, when one thinks of the Smithsonian, we think of lots of things. However, I don't think most are aware that you've put it all to really good use and have applied some really in-depth journeys. And why don't we chat about that and tell us why the Smithsonian, if you will?
Sure. Well, the Smithsonian is the U.S. National Museum, and we're the repository for about 141 million things, ranging from beetles and bats to space capsules, airplanes, locomotives, etc. And in every case, what we have is the real thing, the authentic item.
Right.
Smithsonian is largely in one place in Washington, D.C., and with a couple of museums elsewhere and research stations. But over the years, what we've evolved are a lot of outreach activities that take the not only the objects, but the what we call the Smithsonian experience to people who don't live in Washington or who want a Smithsonian educational experience elsewhere. In the case of Smithsonian Journeys, what we do is bring the same quality of Smithsonian education that you would get by being in a museum on the Mall here in Washington, D.C., to trips that go around the world, literally to every continent, and they are all expert-led, and they all go to authentic and wonderful sites that really have a story to tell, much as the objects do in Washington, D.C. It's an outreach extension of our mission.
And all of these tours are escorted, is that correct?
That's correct. They are escorted by a knowledgeable expert, somebody we call a study leader. In some cases, we have a series of guest lecturers, but there is always a lecture component to it that you're going to learn about, classical Greece or Italian racing cars or Italian cooking or French wines in a classroom situation, and then you go out and experience the real thing. So you're really well prepared for what you're going to see and what you're going to do.
And you also network with the local people, local experts, including museum curators and community leaders.
Absolutely.
So they get the full experience in this adventure, as you...
They really do, because, the Smithsonian has a network of contacts around the world, and certainly as the largest museum complex in the world, our name, often opens doors, certainly to other museums. So our tours are enhanced by tours of private collections, by tours of museum collections with the directors, with the curators, with the people who really know the most about the objects that they take care of. So there are a lot of advantages.
And you call it Travel Beyond the Ordinary. I think that's a wonderful title.
We do. We definitely do. We think it's way beyond the ordinary, not only in our themes and destinations, but the way we deliver the experience that is expert-led. And I think another thing that makes the journeys sort of way beyond the ordinary is the kind of people who opt for a learning vacation of that type. We attract a lot of people who are very passionate about the subject that we are highlighting on particular tours, and they themselves become a resource for other people to learn from.
Right, and of course you get into the history, culture, and the arts and more in depth than that one would normally find in most tours, and that's really the highlight of your signature, is it not?
Absolutely. Let me give you a couple of examples. One that I was on most recently, that was actually in New York, we had a four-day trip to the Metropolitan Opera. We saw four terrific operas, one each night. We had great seats. And every day we had a wonderful preparation for those operas by a terrific study leader, as we call him, somebody who's a real insider at the Metropolitan Opera. he in turn brought in guest experts, people who wrote for opera news, etc. The whole experience was enhanced by having these pre-lectures, and then we would all go and have a drink at the bar after the opera,
right,
and discuss it further for another hour and a half. So the education just went on and on into the night, and people were really enthusiastic about it. I mentioned, too, that we're going to be doing a trip to Italy this spring that is specifically oriented on Italian automobile design. We'll be going to the Ferrari factory. We'll be going to Lamborghini and some of the top design studios. And our expert there is somebody who has written several books on Italian racing cars and is a well-known author, and therefore has his own contacts that we are able to take advantage of. So it's that kind of access.
Now, tell us about your tour leaders. You call them study leaders. Is that what you call?
Yes, we call them study leaders, and they are people who are, you know, experts in the discipline that's being featured on the tour or the region. And these people are really carefully selected because we want them to be able to give, you know, good, solid lectures. But they also are going to be just, asked questions over breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and informally throughout the trip, because I think people who go on these trips are real curious about where they are. And they have to be the kind of people who really love that kind of constant stimulation and bombardment with questions. And you know, we choose people who actually get more and more enthusiastic as the tour goes, because they get energized by the kinds of questions they're asked. So they have to be great lecturers, and they also have to be terrific, engaging people. And that's what we look for, and that's what, you know, we've been fortunate enough to find for all of our tours.
Now, would you consider these cost-wise high-end, or is there a medium level as well?
There is. We try to have a variety of price points for our tours, and they range all the way from very expensive. We do private, you know, round-the-world jet tours down to 3-day battlefield tours of Gettysburg and Vicksburg. That are really not expensive at all. And we have a whole middling line of trips, international trips, called Smithsonian Journeys Travel Adventures, where the emphasis is on value. And in those cases, we have a series of lecturers who appear throughout the trips rather than the study leader. And these are local people who come in and talk about their area of expertise. And it allows us to price those a little lower. So it's really a whole gamut of prices.
Now, give us a sampling, if you will, of the types of accommodations one could expect on these tours.
Well, you know, again,
it's very varied,
range.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yes, vast range, but we, you know, all the way from, you know, just top 5-star hotels in India to, you know, an occasional motel in some of our battlefield tours. But what we basically look for are accommodations that are very nice, very comfortable, not necessarily 5-star, but very much, reeking of the ambience of the city or town that we're in. We want it to have a local flavor. We want those hotels to be very well located, so that if you want to strike out on your own and take a walk and explore on your own, you are not 5 miles outside of town.
Yeah, that's very important. I agree entirely, because that's the only way you can really get the true flavor of a destination. If you stay, I don't want to throw out a name brand, but if you stay in a name brand hotel, it's always the same. I mean, you wouldn't really know, except for maybe some decorations, that you were even away from home.
Exactly. So wherever possible, we like the smaller, locally owned hotels that are, you know, that have the ambience of the and the flavor of the region. And as you say, there's nothing like being able to get up early and take a walk outside yourself and do some exploration on your own. So you have to be in a place where you can do that. That's what we look for.
Right. And the other thing that you promote is being in good company. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I will just go back to my most recent experience in New York with the opera group, and boy, was that good company. There were 33 of us on that trip just before Christmas, and we had a lot of people who are very knowledgeable about opera. We had a lot of people who were newcomers to opera, but they were so enthusiastic about the program. They were so enthusiastic about meeting each other and becoming friends and sharing this experience together. And among those people who were there were at least 6 or 7 people who had met on previous Smithsonian tours and had become friends and were sort of celebrating not only taking this next tour but seeing each other again. So I think because the tours are themed, we attract people who already have something in common with one another, and the friendships just build from there. And they're very, very outgoing, friendly people. We have a lot of single people on our trips, and I think they feel extremely comfortable. They know that when they come, they're going to make friends instantly, and there's going to be a real camaraderie.
Especially when you have similar interests, of course.
Exactly. That's really the key.
Now, the tours run year-round, is that correct?
Yes, they do.
And the selection is just ongoing. I mean, I'm looking at your list of destinations, and it would take another half hour just to go through them.
Right.
But the variety also is, you know, from land-based to ocean, as your ocean river cruises, trains, and of course, private jet, as you say. And,
yeah.
And of course, you do have family programs, is that right?
We do. We have a really interesting number of family programs, and we go to Galapagos, we go to Alaska, we go to the Mediterranean, and where the kids and their parents and grandparents study ancient Greece and Rome. This year we've introduced a Tanzania for Families program, and the study leader for that program is the head veterinarian at the Smithsonian's National Zoo here in Washington, one of the people who was, you know, instrumental in bringing us our wonderful panda pair. So she's taking time out from her responsibilities at the zoo and is taking families to Tanzania. We're very excited about that. So those, you know, those attract children, parents, and in some cases grandparents. We have multi-generational trips going out.
Now, for those that are interested in taking your tours, how would they get this information?
Well, the very best and fastest way is to go to our website. In fact, this is very timely because we relaunched our new website last night. So we're very excited about it, and it has all of our tours up there, and you can, you know, you can spend some time on the site, it's smithsonianjourneys.org, and that is the very fastest way to get in touch with us.
I'm looking at the site, and it looks great, Amy, and
great.
Thank you for taking the time to share this with our audience.
I appreciate it. Thank
it's
you so much.
A pleasure. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.